My dad, Pastor Salem, loved preaching in December to deliver the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise his name and to worship him. I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and the third week in our series of Songs for Christmas. Thank you for encouraging notes and letters to us. We are grateful. From Facebook, I lost my 24-year-old son 6 years ago in a fishing accident. My world flipped and I was lost. I saw Pastor Salem on TV early one Sunday morning. His sermon was on losing a loved one. His words touched me. It is what I needed. Thank you for continuing his sermons. I'd be lost without him. You might say, he has changed my life for the better, and I thank you greatly. Today, Dad will share about the angels, doing God's work, and how we are his messengers and are to honor, serve, and glorify God. Now, let's join Pastor Salem for today's message, The Song of the Angels. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And what a wonderful, wonderful time we're having during the month of December, because all month long we're celebrating the coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And today we're going to be thinking about how that the angels came and presented the great message of the coming of Christ. And we're thinking about when you look at the Old Testament, you'll find that they were prophesying the coming of the Lord over 700 years before he came. For instance, Micah writes, and he says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." And so he's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And so we're preaching about that and singing about that and praising him. And everybody's happy all this month at the coming of the Lord Jesus. So we want to praise his name. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving your son. And we thank you, Jesus, for coming. And we just thank you for the wonderful salvation we have, the fullness of life we have when we have you, and how you give us comfort and you give us guidance and you give us strength. And you told us you'd never leave us or forsake us. Thank you for Jesus, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And we pray that you'll bless us now as we worship him and present him to the whole world. In Jesus' name, amen. Melissa's going to sing, and her son Joshua is going to accompany her, and they're going to have Silent Night, and God bless you both.
God bless you.
From that
Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Well, thank you, a mother and her son. God bless you. And we never get tired of hearing Silent Night. I'm past my 95 years, and I know from the very beginning we always sang that song, Silent Night, and it never grows old, and it's more beautiful all the time. And we hear from a lot of shut-ins, and I can just imagine that you're singing, hearing these folks sing, and you're thinking when you were back home many, many years ago, you never forget your home, and you never forget your mother, do you? And a lot of times dad, too, but the mothers especially. And so it's a beautiful song and a beautiful message. And we're going to be thinking about the angel song today when they presented that message to the shepherds out in the fields. But before that, we want to look at some of the letters. We just thank you for writing to us. We get so many, and we read every one. And if you have a question, we try to answer that for you. And so we just want to thank you for writing. And I hear from people, and they say, we love to hear the letters because we know the body of Christ. We hear about different people in different places and what they're experiencing, and it draws us all together. And then in this letter, this lady said, and sometimes we're a small little group by ourselves, but when you read these letters, we hear the body of Christ all over the world, and they bless us. And so, boy, I hate to give up sermon time. It's hard for a preacher to give up his preaching time, but I'm going to give it up to read these letters. And the first one is going to thrill you half to death. Here it is, Council Bluffs, Iowa. God bless you all for what you're doing, taking God's word all over the world. What a wonderful thing you are doing. And then this is what he says. This is a young man writing. Thank you again for telling me how to bring Jesus to me. He is with me now every day. It feels wonderful. Wow. And here he's talking, and see what he says? He thanks us for bringing Jesus to him. And you know, if you've given a nickel to this program, or if you've prayed for it, even if you haven't sent anything and you prayed, you had a part in bringing Jesus to this young man. And this young man responded and accepted Jesus. And that's what we do Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year for almost 40 years. And we're bringing you Jesus. And so I want to thank all of you who've helped us, because without your help, couldn't be done. Here's a nice letter from Portola Valley, California. Please send me some literature. I want to feel his presence. I'm 85 years old and just now finding out how much I've missed. Thank you. And so here, this it's never too late, 85, but she's coming to trusting in Jesus, and she's growing in Jesus, and she wants to know more. Now she says something that I want to talk about just for a second. She says, I want to feel his presence. Now, that comes with experience. That comes with time. And when you accept Jesus, you may feel his presence or you may not feel anything. Sometimes people think you have to have, when you accept Jesus, to be born again, you have to have goose pimples and you have to have all kinds of feelings and you have to have tears. Now, I know when I accepted Jesus, I had a little old tear or two, 10 years old, but the feelings don't have a thing to do with it. It's a contract. It's a covenant. It's an everlasting covenant. And the covenant is God is saying, if you will accept my son Jesus, I'll give you everlasting life. And it's just like a marriage contract or anything else. You just sign it and that's it. And you may have emotions and you may not. But if you don't have a lot of feelings, don't you worry one bit about it. This comes by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He just believed. And if you believe, that's all you need to do. And you're a child of God. Well, let's see. Oh, here. Here's a letter I want to share to you. And this is from Commerce City, Colorado. And this lady writes, I pray for forgiveness, and the Bible says he forgives, but how come I don't feel it when I can't forgive myself? If I didn't know I would go to hell, I would have killed myself years ago. I opened my Bible last night to the Ten Commandments and realized I've broken almost all of them. I don't know how to put my life together. I'm 58 years old. I feel my life is over. I've made TV and pills priority over God. I turned to a Christian channel at 2 a.m. It was for children, but the best place to start. Now what do I do? Where do I really find God and Jesus? I know I can't live this way anymore. Please help me find the way. My ways are wrong ways. I have the program Celebration Under the Silver Dome. I pray I get it. I hope you understand what I mean. I am a lost sheep and want the Lord to take my life and show me the way to live. Your program said if I write to you, you'd send some information. I cry as I write this because I need help. I need to know what to do. I'm so lost and lonely. Please help and tell me what I should do. Please help me find the way to God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and quit the drugs and the smoking. I pray that I hear back from you. Thank you. Well, of course, we've written back. Some of these people we call, I tried to call this lady, but I couldn't get her. So I wrote to her, and we sent her literature, and we told her, you're never too late to come to Jesus. Some people think that their sins are so bad, God will never take them back. Well, Paul said he was a chief of sinners, and God saved him. So if he can save our chief, he can save all the rest of us. There's no sin too big for God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is greater than all of our sins and all of the sins of the world. And I could give her hope. And that's why I love to preach. I love to preach because I don't care who you are. There's hope. And you just come to Jesus. And I've sent the literature. And what you have to do is accept Jesus into your heart and ask him to come into your heart. And when you ask him, though your faith may be just tiny, it just may be like a mustard seed. It doesn't matter. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And maybe you feel like this lady, that you're just a lost sheep and there's no hope. There's always hope with Jesus. The time when there's no hope is after you die. Because after death, the judgment, God can't do anything for you. It's all settled. You're with Christ or you're with the devil. And so we're just praying you'll put your faith in Jesus. And pray for this lady and pray for others who are going through hard times, that they just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. What a wonderful, wonderful gospel. Praise God. Here's Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Thank you for being my church while I'm too ill right now to attend a brick and mortar church. I appreciate your clear, true message that even the unbeliever will understand. God spoke to me clearly tonight about tithing. He said it is stealing from him, not giving to spread the word of salvation, because everything is his. And out of his generosity, he gives me 90% of what I make to keep. How incredibly wonderful of him. I've been looking at it all wrong. So here's my gift. What a pleasure to give it to your ministry. And she's exactly right. There's a joy in giving. And if you're an old tightwad and you just can't give a bit, well, you give anyway, because God loves a cheerful giver, but he will accept from a grouch and a tightwad. But you start giving, and you'll find there's a blessing in it, and God will bless your heart, and you just start giving. And if you don't have to give to us, there's a lot of good programs on the television, and you have your church. Find a church where they preach the Bible. Support them, but 10% belongs to the Lord, and you'll be happier if you do it. And there's joy in giving. And you know, when I went to Sunday school as a little boy, we had a memory verse every week. And one of the memory verses we had was, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I did not believe that. It's more blessed to give away than to get. And as a kid, I thought, God, you got mixed up on that one. That is just impossible. Now I'm an old man, and I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot more joy in giving than there is in getting. And God was right after all. And if you just give, maybe you can give to our service. You ought to just pray, is this something I ought to support? Ask God. He'll tell you. He'll tell you yes or no, and he'll tell you what to give. And that's the way we'll go then. So God bless you, and God bless this lady. Now, here is one from Adrian, Missouri. If the money does dry up, God forgive. Call me, sir, and I will go for surety. Boy, I'm hanging on to that letter. I'm telling you. But I'm going to tell you how we operate. He says, if you don't get the money, then you let me know, and I'll be surety for it. Now, here's the way we operate. We believe that God wants this service to be sent all over the world, and that's what we're doing. And we are not underwritten by any church or denomination or corporation or anything else. And we don't send out gimmicks and handkerchiefs and water and God knows what. And we would just say, God, if you want this to continue, you tell your people, and your people will support us. And for almost 40 years, we've never been late. And if it all dries up, we're not going to this man for surety. Because if it dries up, it'll mean that God isn't using it anymore. And if God isn't in it, we don't want any part of it. So that's just exactly how we live, and that's the way we operate. Here's a letter, Gordon, Wisconsin. We want to thank you for letting us into your church. You shouldn't feel ashamed about asking for help because of what you're all been doing, spreading the gospel all over the world. Thank you for your prayers. And so we're just happy about all of these folks that help us and support us. Have one more letter, and this is from Mountain Home, Arizona. And this man wrote and wanted to know about salvation. And I sent him a little folder put out by the Billy Graham Association. It's called Steps to Peace with God. And in this, it tells about our sin and how to accept Jesus. And it's very simple, but it's, to accept Jesus, he just tells us, you go to Jesus and tell him you're a sinner. And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I'm a sinner. And Billy Graham says, if you have some big, horrible sin, confess it by name. But just, I'm a sinner, because we're all sinners. And then, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sin. And if you do, I'll make you the Lord of my life. I'll follow you and serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. That's what the little folder tells. That's what we're telling you to do. It isn't that don't get fancy with words, just in plain words. Just talk to Jesus and tell him you'd want him to come into your heart. And so we sent this to a man, and this is what he wrote back. And he sent the little booklet, and this is what he said. Thank you for Steps to Peace with God. I sign my pledge today, September 18th, 2016. And then he has a little pledge card in there. He wrote on, he put his name on and sent it back. He accepted Jesus, born again. Now, if you are wondering if you would like to maybe have that little pamphlet, we'll send it free and postpaid. I'm going to give you the address right now. The Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. And you write, we'll send it free and postpaid, and you can and make that prayer. Sometimes people call in, and I pray with them over the telephone to accept Jesus, and they're gloriously saved. And so you could maybe just have any questions, you can write for that. Or you can write to us, and we'll be happy to send you literature and get you started on the right track. So you write to us, and when you write, you can ask for something that's really special. It's just, you can't believe it's so wonderful. It is called the New Song, New Song. And what it is, it's a little Bible study we have every month. And we get people that have these for private Bible studies. They have group Bible studies with it in their homes. Sometimes they have it in church. They use it for Sunday school for their classes. But it's just a wonderful little study. And this month, we're talking about the month of December. We're talking a study on God's gifts to us and some of the gifts he gives us and the promises that he gives us. And it'll bless your heart, the new song. And then also we want to remind you that if you want to write us, to pray for you, we'll pray for you and support you that way and help you along God's way. And by the way, I just want to mention this. If you send a gift, you can be sure that it goes for the preaching of the word. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And those people, they're an international organization, and they check churches and they check TV programs and all the rest. And some of them are not members because they don't meet the requirements. We are a full member of the ECFA. And what they do is they audit our books. And not only if we get money and if we're receiving it right, not only that, what we receive, but how do we spend it? They check exactly what we spend, every dollar. Makes you get tired of them looking over your shoulder. The agreement is that they can walk into our office anytime, day or night, and check our books. So it's all above board. And mainly we do it to please God and to be honest before God. But maybe you want an organization to endorse us, ECFA. So I hope you'll write to us, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402 USA. And if you want to send a gift on the internet, you can do that, Miracle of Miracles. You just get ChristianWorshipHour.com, and then you can say there's a place donate, and then there's a place maybe PayPal, some different credit card, and you can send gifts. We got gifts from Norway. We got gifts from Philippines, from Australia, and so anywhere. And we get it in the United States currency, can pay our bills. So you can give that way. But whatever you do, pray. Pray for the Christian Worship Hour. So now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And you give as God lays on your heart. So Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts. Bless every giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. Love those Christmas carols and never get old, and especially at Christmas time. And just think, next week we're going to have Christmas Day, and we're going to celebrate the Lord Jesus, a beautiful, beautiful Savior. Well, today we're reading from Luke chapter 2. We're beginning with the 8th verse, and I know many of you get your Bibles, and you read along with us, and that's just great. That's Luke chapter 2, starting with the 8th verse. And in our prayer today, we'll pray for our brothers and sisters in the persecuted church in Algeria. And during this Christmas season, while we're celebrating and having a great time in wherever we might be, some of them are struggling and families are being separated, some are being put to death. And so we pray for the persecuted church, going to be Algeria today. But in our scripture lesson, we read, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Dear Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we read this story of the coming of your Son. And to all of the angels that filled the skies to announce to those shepherds and to praise your coming, born of the Virgin in Bethlehem, born to be our Savior. We just thank you. We can't imagine that you would do that, Lord. Because we have sinned, you haven't sinned. We've sinned against you. You haven't sinned against us. And yet you pay all the price, you pay all the penalty in giving your Son. And so Jesus is born. And there he is. He's man and he's God. He's unique. There never was one like him before, and there never will be another like him again. Holy God and man in one body going to the cross because God can't die. So you see your Son as your Son in the flesh dies and sheds his blood to pay for our sins. And so we pray that as we look at these shepherds, we'll draw our lessons today to be people that'll praise you and love you and serve you and above all things, open you into our heart that we have the living Christ, that he's born again in our heart and that we can live a new life, a different life, a better life, a stronger life, a complete fulfilled life because we have the Savior. You have to have the Savior. So bless us in this service now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And now Barb's going to sing for us, Unto You This Night, and God bless you, Barb.
Night so long ago, by the light of one bright star, two weary travelers far from Galilee took refuge in a stable where a little child was born to bring the gift of love to you and me. When the angels told the shepherds of his birth, there came a great rejoicing on the earth. They sang, glory to God in the highest, on that first Christmas morn. Peace on earth and tidings of great joy, for unto you this night a child is born. And on these many years since then, an ancient star still guides us, and now again our Christmas voices ring. Unless we are safe at home with loved ones here beside us, and in the still and silent night we sing how the angels told the shepherds of his birth. There came a great rejoicing on the earth. They sang glory to God in the highest on that first Christmas morn. A child is born. They sing glory to God in the highest on that first Christmas morn. Peace on earth and tidings of great joy, for unto you this night a child is born. For unto you this night a child is born.
Thank you, Barb. God bless you. That's the message. That's what we're talking about. We've been thinking this month of different songs, four different songs of Christmas. And so far, we've had the Song of Mary, and then the Song of Zechariah. And then today, we're going to be looking at the Song of the Angels. And then next Sunday, Christmas Day, we're going to be thinking and singing and talking about the Song of Simeon. And did he ever have a message? But all of the Christmas is just filled with wonderful messages. And so we want to look at the angels today. We want to look at first of all, at the shepherds. But then we want to look at the angels. And then we're going to look at the song that they brought. St. Luke tells us there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Actually, they were keeping field in the fields between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. And when you read about the pastures of Bethlehem, you think, for instance, that's where David, centuries before, kept his father's sheep. And that's also where Ruth gleaned in the fields of Boaz. And so the shepherds are there keeping watch over their flock by night. And sometimes what had happened is these shepherds would gather together at night, and they put their flocks together, and then they would one of them would stand guard, or two of them stand guard, and the rest could sleep, and they'd take turns that way, so they get some night's rest. And that's what these shepherds were doing. These shepherds were not in bed asleep because they were they were on their march. They were on there a certain time when they were supposed to watch, and so that was their watch. Well, while they're watching this hill country, they are standing there. And always remember this, they were Jewish men. These shepherds were Jewish people. And they knew of the prophecies of the coming of the Messiah. They knew all about it. And so that's when the angel tells them about the Savior. They know exactly what they're talking about. You had the angels come to some of the American sheep herders and told them about the Messiah's coming. They wonder, who's the Messiah? What's the Messiah? Wouldn't have any idea, foggiest idea. But these Jewish men, they knew the Old Testament. And they knew what he was talking about. And the shepherds, they just rejoiced and were happy as they heard this message. And then we look at the angels. Now, angels are spirit beings, and they're from outside this world. They're gathered into two groups, the good angels, which are the servants of God, and then the evil angels, which are the servants of the devil, and we call them demons. And the English word angel, translated in the Hebrew word malak in the Old Testament, translates the Greek word angelos in the New Testament. But they both means one thing, messenger. And so when you read of the angels, you could substitute word messenger, and it worked just as well. Angels do God's work. They continually surround the throne of God, waiting for his will and waiting to do his work. And he gives them missions, and he sends them on missions and such as that, to do his will and do his work. And so they leave heaven, do their mission on earth, and return to heaven and remain with God. The only times where they leave heaven is when they are on assignment from God. And so we see the angels at work in the life of our Lord, and how God uses the angels. For instance, the angels at the birth of Jesus. It was the angels that spoke to Mary. It was the angels that spoke to Joseph. It was the angels that spoke to the shepherds. These messengers carrying out the work of God, doing God's work. At Gethsemane, you see the same thing. You have the disciples there. They're sound asleep. And as we read, Jesus agonized, as it were, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And then we're told in Luke 22, verse 43, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. That's where he abides, in heaven. He comes down, and what does he do? He comes to strengthen the Lord Jesus. And so the angel comes to comfort and stand by the Son of God, Perhaps the angel wiped away the bloody sweat. Who knows? Perhaps the angel spoke words of encouragement to him. But whatever it is, men failed, and the angel stepped in to help out and take care of things. The first Easter morning, it was an angel that came back and rolled back the stone. And so to show that the tomb was empty, he didn't roll back the stone to let the Lord Jesus come out. He rolled back the stone to see that it was show that it was already empty, because in the resurrected body, Jesus ascended right up through that solid stone in that miraculous new body. And you're going to have that body, and I'm going to have that same body if your faith is in Jesus Christ. But you have to have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have any hope. And you'll never have that beautiful resurrected body. You see, we have an immortal spirit, an immortal soul, and a mortal body. The spirit and soul are immortal. They will never die. They will be put in eternal death, which is eternal existence in hell or in heaven with God. But the body is mortal, and it's going to die. But when Jesus comes again, and he's going to have that, and we're going to have that new body, and it's going to be immortal. And so we have an immortal spirit, immortal soul, immortal body, all because of Jesus. And so the angel rolls away the stone. He shows that the grave is empty. And then you see the angels. Here come the angels again. Now Jesus has been baptized in the Jordan River. He's about 30 years old. He goes into the wilderness and he's tempted in the Judean wilderness. He's there for 40 days and 40 nights. And after Jesus has victory over the hard temptations, we read that Jesus hungered because he was human. And what do we read? Angels came and ministered unto him. Perhaps they brought him food. They gave him fellowship. When he ascends up into heaven, here the angels are again. They're present to assure the disciples that Jesus will come again. He's not gone forever. He hasn't forsaken you forever. He is as he told you. He'll give you the Holy Spirit. But the angels came to talk to those men. So the angels were created beings to serve God and to satisfy God and to honor God and to glorify God. And my friends, I'm telling you, whether you're saved or not saved, whether you're a Christian or a non-Christian, that's what you're in this world for. You are here to honor God, to serve God, and to glorify God. Sometimes people say, why was I ever born? You were born to serve God, to honor God, to glorify God. And some of you reject God. And when you reject Jesus Christ, you can never please him. And you will never please him until you receive his son. And once we receive Jesus into our life by simply just asking him in, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you want Jesus in your heart, just say, dear Jesus, I was 10 years old. 10 years old out in the country. I didn't know up from down out in that country. And we were so far out in the country. We were so far out in the country, the sun set before it got to our house. Hard to believe. But we were way out there. And what did I know? But the evangelist said, you have to ask Jesus. Ask, come in your heart and take away your sins. That's what I did. Then the evangelist said, you have to repent. That is, you have to turn from your evil ways. That means I had to quit getting mad at the milk cow. That's one thing was right. I was convicted of losing my temper on those old milk cows. And then God says, and then you give him your life. You make him your Lord. You make your Savior, see. Now, that's what we need to do. And that's what these angels come. They are here to serve and to honor and to glorify God. And these people then, they came, every believer, that's what we have to do. Here's the angels. They came from heaven. And that's where they're abode. And they came from heaven. They inhabit heaven. They leave heaven to come to earth on a mission. And then earth is not their home. Heaven is their home. And when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we're in the same group. It said of every believer, this earth isn't our home. Heaven is our home. We are here on a pilgrimage where our citizenship is in heaven. Our father's in heaven. Our home is in heaven. Our loved ones are in heaven. Our treasure's in heaven. Everything is in heaven except us. And so we're on earth on a mission, and we're going to go back and take back. The angels are in heaven, come to earth to minister. We are on earth to minister and then go to heaven. See, that's the angels. Angels are one-way messengers. The message comes from God to us. They don't have their own message. They don't make up their own thing. They bring God's message. That's what every good pastor ought to do, have only God's message. Forget what you think and what your ideas are and all of the rest of it. And thus saith the Lord, use the word of God. And I always tell the young pastors, 95 years old, I can tell them a little, advise them a little bit. I tell them, when you preach the Bible, you can preach with authority. You don't have to back down for anybody. You can say, this is what God says. And you can like it or lump it. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It's the truth. That's what it is. And so it here, one angel comes tonight in the Bethlehem story when he comes to the shepherds. Listen to this. It says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, one angel, just one angel, one messenger. And the angel said unto them, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for all people unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, Christ the Lord. He gives the message. This shall be a sign. You're going to find that baby. That's all. There's just one angel, a single angel bringing my God's message. And have you ever wondered who he might be? Well, it could have been Gabriel. I think it was Gabriel. Gabriel means mighty one of God. And he's always bringing important news. And it's almost always good news. And we're happy to have Gabriel around because there'll be good news when Gabriel comes as a rule. Gabriel met Zechariah inside the Holy of Holies, told him about the prayers. That was good news. Gabriel tells Zechariah the priest that he would have a son. That son would be one of the greatest messengers in all the Bible, maybe the greatest. Jesus says there's none other greater than John the Baptist. And Zechariah and Elizabeth, his wife, is going to give birth to John the Baptist. Can you imagine it? What a glorious honor. Good news. Oh, good news to Zechariah. Shortly thereafter, the same Gabriel comes to Mary, tells her the most wonderful news in the world, and the wonderful news. God is going to send his son to earth, and he's going to send him through you. What thrill. Every maiden in Israel for several thousand years prayed that they might be that one to bring the Messiah, that God would send the Messiah through her, and Mary is the one. Talk about good news. 500 years before this, the same Gabriel stood before Daniel, told him good news about future events. So there was a single angel. My guess is it was Gabriel, but it doesn't matter. He came and he gave the message. And then we read on, and look what it says. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Notice there's one angel, and suddenly, just like turning on the light bulb, there's a multitude. How many is in a multitude? 1,000? 10,000? Moses tells us that at the giving of the law at Mount Sinai, they were 10,000 angels. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2. But the giving of the most precious possession, his only begotten son, won't be 10,000, it could be 1,000,000, could it be 1,000,000 angels. As far as they could see, the glory of the Lord was shining for the host of angels, the multitude of angels. And there they are, and they're singing the praises of God. Oh, my God. No wonder the shepherds were sore afraid. They were petrified. You know, we have light bulbs all over the place. We got them in the studio here so bright as blind a blind man. And here it is. All the whole sky is filled with that light. And they'd never even seen a light bulb. All they'd seen was a little old olive oil lamp they had. And you had to find a light of light to find the lamp, even after it was lit. It looked like nothing. And all the sky and the glory of the Lord. Look at this. The glory of the Lord shone around about them. Whole countryside was filled with angels. And did you ever think of the glory of the Lord? Well, this is not the first time you read about the glory of the Lord. We see the glory of the Lord when Moses saw it in the burning bush. We see the glory of God when we see the Israelites saw it in the pillar of fire. We see it in the glory of God as they have the tabernacle in the wilderness. Later on, we see the glory of the Lord in the temple in Jerusalem, that wonderful glory. Now that glory is back. It's filling the skies. because the Son of God is going to be born in just a few minutes, or maybe had been born. And this is the wonderful work that Jesus Christ, and when we told something else, after Jesus had completed all of his ministry, and he goes to Beth on the Mount of Olives, and he ascends back into heaven, he was received into a cloud. That glory that he set aside when he came, now the work is all done, and he's going back to heaven, and he has that glory again. Oh, that glory. It must have been something that shook those shepherds. Believe me, it would make an indelible mark on them. And so we have the shepherds, and we got the angels. Now let's look at listen to the song. And somebody starts right now. I've had this all the time, so I'll answer it now. And if you don't need to write, if you write, send a gift, and then I'll read it. See, somebody says, did they sing? I say, yeah, they sang. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, King James says, a heavenly host of God sang. S-A-Y-I-N-G, sang. Doesn't say sing. And so they say, you can't say that he sang, that the angels were singing, because it says they were saying. See, now there's some other translations. The Living Bible has they were praising God. The Today's English Version says they were singing praises to God. New English Bible says singing praises to God. And so does the Jerusalem Bible. And so there's a difference of opinion. Personally, I think the angels sang. I don't know how they could keep from singing. How could you, with all of that, with all the glorious things, and the Son of God is born in the manger, and then you're going to say, well, now the Son of God is born over in the manger there. What, are you losing your mind? You would have to sing. You'd have to praise God. And this wonderful Savior, you can sing and praise God. And so maybe you don't think that. Well, I'm going to tell you what we'll do. If you want to think they're saying, you just say they were saying. But my angels are going to sing. And then we listen to the angels. And they say, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Glory of the Lord shone about them. And so on. And glory to God in the highest. Listen to what the angels tell us. They tell us, first of all, fear not. But don't be afraid. God is saying that all the time because fear hurts. When you're afraid, you're just not good for anything. And it's a horrible thing to have fears. And when you come to the Bible, you find Jesus is always telling us, fear not. And he tells us why we shouldn't fear. He says we shouldn't fear because for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. We have a Savior, a wonderful Savior. This Messiah has been born, the hope of the centuries, the hope of the world. The great Son of God is born. Don't be afraid anymore. He'll be your friend. He'll be your Savior. He'll be your shepherd. Lean on him. And then he says, they said, I bring you good tidings, good news. Good tidings of great joy. The message is for all people. And we mustn't forget that. We must be to all the people. And that's what the Christian worship hour is. All over the world, shortwave radio, television. We're telling the whole world. And when you pray for us, you're helping to tell them news all over the world. That's what we have to do. And we have to be missionary minded. And then we need to tell not the whole world, but our own neighbors next door and your friends. Tell them about Jesus. And then we're told something else. It is that salvation is a person. Salvation is a person. Unto you is born a Savior, Jesus Christ, a Savior. A Savior from what? Somebody said, you're saved. What are you saved from? Saved from getting old or something? You're saved from your sin. And that's the greatest question in the world. What are you going to do with your sins? They're going to drag you into hell. But Jesus will save us from our sins. And then it says he is the anointed one. Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. The fulfillment of all these things of the promise, the prophet, the priest, the king. All of these testimonies in the Old Testament. All filled fully. Jesus is one of us also. He says, you're going to find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. He is one of us. He knows how you feel. Maybe you're lonely today. And you just know God knows all about it. And then it says to, they give glory to God and peace on earth. Now, the King James isn't very good here because it says that it makes it feel like that man is bringing the peace, but God is bringing the peace. And it should read like, glory to God in the highest on earth and peace to men of whom his favor rests. That is people that have accepted Jesus Christ. They have the peace. And some old sinner isn't going to get the peace till they have Jesus. And men aren't going to give it to you. Jesus has to give it to us. And so this wonderful peace of God comes from God and God alone. And what about that peace? It's a peace that only God can give. Warren Wiersbe comments, and he says, the Jewish word shalom, peace, means much more than a truce with the battles of life. It means well-being. It means health, prosperity, security, soundness, completion. It means more to do with character than circumstances. Life was difficult at the time there. Taxes were high. Unemployment was high. Morals were slipping. Sounds like today, didn't it? Then God sent his son. And this wonderful peace then doesn't come from man. It comes from God alone. This wonderful Savior. And is to be shared with the world. And then the message, the angel song ends. And the same came to pass as the angel had gone away from them into heaven. When the angels first came, it says suddenly, like turning on a light bulb. But now they depart as there is a different Greek word is used. And it means the angels have gone away from them. It doesn't mean suddenly. It means gradually. And so here it is, when they first come, bang, and then they start to fade, and they fade away, and they go away. And the shepherds stood in the Bethlehem plain. They saw the heavenly host disperse, and it sank in their minds. The angels go back to the orderly, gradual fashion. They go back to heaven from whence they came. The scene was indelibly imprinted in their minds. They could never forget that scene. And they will tell us about it when we walk the golden streets of heaven. They'll tell about that whole story, and won't we thrill about it again? And the result, the shepherds followed Jesus, and they told others. And that's the result it ought to make in your heart and my life. First of all, to find Christ. You have to have Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth in him. The wrath of God is upon him. John 3, verse 36. And so today Jesus is standing at your heart. He's saying in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's the door of your heart. If any man hear my voice, if you feel that voice, if you're just something is saying to you right now, and you're saying, I ought to have Jesus. I need Jesus. I want Jesus. Now, if you want to, Jesus says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believed on his name. You say, I don't know how to receive him. Well, how do you receive anybody? You just open the door. If I knock on your door, you open the door and you say, come in. And that's what you do with your heart. You say, dear Jesus, come into my heart and take away my sin. And I love you, and I'll follow you the best I can. I'll turn from my... There's repentance. You need to turn from your evil ways as best you can. You may slip back, but when you do, you ask forgiveness, and he'll take you back. And you say, just have him come into my heart, and God will save you. And to those of you who are Christians, and you're going through hard times, and when we're thinking about the shut-ins, we think about you folks that can't get out. We think about you on sick beds, in wheelchairs, or in some home. You can't get out anymore, and you're discouraged, and you're wondering what's going to ever happen. You just trust Jesus and know that he says he would never leave you or forsake you, that he loves you, and that he takes the little lambs in his arms and he carries them. Isaiah says he takes the old gray heads. He takes the old people and he carries them too, not just the lambs. Isaiah chapter 60, it tells all about that wonderful shepherd. And so we're praying for you today that you'll just put your faith in Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to write to us and help us in this work. We have to have your help. If you don't help us, we can't carry on. So you ask God what to do. Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402, USA. God bless you. Now I'm going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, well, we're just praying today for everyone who's heavy-hearted, everyone who's lonely, everyone who's discouraged, everyone who is deep in sin and they think there's no hope and there's no way out. Help them to know that you love them and you died for them and you paid for them. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. But your sins cleanses us from all sin, no matter how bad and evil it is, you will forgive us. And so, dear Jesus, we just pray that there'll be multitudes. Somebody's thinking, oh, I know I ought to do it. Help them to do it right now, wherever they are. And we know that you'll save them from their sin. You'll write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You'll make them a child of God, and they'll be with you forever and ever, and we'll see them together. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're praying now you have a wonderful Christmas season, and you'll have the most wonderful Christmas season of all if you put your faith in Jesus. And don't forget to write to us. We have to hear from you, or we can't carry on. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, good old Aberdeen, South Dakota. And you have a wonderful Christmas season, getting ready for Christmas Day next week. And we'll do the same thing. And the Lord willing, we'll be back. And we'll celebrate. You listen to old Simeon. You're going to be thrilled to death when you hear Simeon sing. God bless you. God bless you, everyone, now and always. God loves you. We love you.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.